Blog Talk Radio. The perfect job, prosperity, or the road to good health? Science has proven that our bodies are made up of a complex energy system called chakras. These chakras can be tuned up just like a car. Imagine if your car was not running correctly. Would you just sit back and assume it would magically fix itself? If your refrigerator stopped cooling, do you think you would just wait and see what happens, or would you be afraid that all your food would spoil and call a repairman? Chakra clearing and balancing is the same thing. When things are not going right in your life, whether it's your love life, your career, your bank account, or your health, can you afford to just sit back and wait and hope that somehow it will simply just correct itself? Chakra can even help the most stressed out person regain their sense of calm and inner serenity, regardless of what's going on around them. You can get a full chakra clearing and realignment long distance over the phone by calling 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446. 3446. We'll be happy to clear and balance all your chakras. Look.
To the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with my co-host,
Miss Jessica.
And we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We've got a really good show for you tonight. Our topic is dysfunctional families, the gift that keeps on giving, even though we may want to return it, and how the effects of growing up in a dysfunctional family affect us in our adult lives and how we can turn that into a positive. And we can turn it around, and the key is first becoming aware of it and then putting steps in place to change the behavior that is a result of that. So we're gonna give an on-air test today that you can take at home, you know, have a piece of paper and a pencil handy tonight. And so during our next song, not that I don't want you to hear the song, but get a piece of paper and a pencil, and we're going to ask several questions, and you'll either jot down yes or no. And so by the end of the test, you'll know whether or not your life has been affected by dysfunction. And as always, we'll be doing mini angel readings, so make a note of our call-in number. That's 323-679-0882, 323-679-0882. And if you're looking for a mini reading or you just want to make a comment on our topic of the week, or even if you have some advice, go ahead, give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And by the way, the chat room's open. I just kind of poked in there, said hello. I know Susie Q's in there kind of keeping everything together and helping people out. So I want to thank everybody for going to our chat room. We're getting much better every week about, you know, checking it and reading those questions on air and trying to answer them. Don't forget to mark your calendars. May 18th, Father Bob Daly. He's a Roman Catholic priest seen regularly on shows such as Paranormal State, The Haunted, A Real Ghostbuster, and he's going to be joining us to talk about all things paranormal. So if you have any questions about the paranormal, any friends who are involved in the paranormal, definitely have them give the show a listen and maybe even call in with some questions, because it's rare that you get to talk to somebody who really knows what he's talking about when it comes to things like that. And then, of course, on May 25th, our topic will be laughter. Can it really cure cancer, herpes, depression, and the common cold? And I'll learn about some real scientific evidence that proves that laughter really can be the best medicine. Yahoo! All right, Jessica, how have you been doing?
I have been doing great. Had a busy weekend. Was my birthday weekend, yes.
Yeah.
Remember the birthday we talked about last week that I wanted to forget?
I know. I
didn't forget.
Did it really bother you that you turned a year older?
Not really. I think you just reach a point in your life where you're just old, you know?
That's malarkey.
I'm kidding. Grandmother
used to say. You know, you're not old. What happens is we tend to, you know, I know people who used to lie about their age,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they used to lie about their age so much that they just, in their own brains, thought of themselves as 10 years younger. And then all of a sudden, when they started admitting their real age,
mm-hmm.
they aged within those next 30 days.
Well,
because in their mindset.
Right,
you know,
and my daughter and I were talking the other night about it, and I said, you know, honestly, I feel like I'm about 32.
Then you're 32.
Right. So
then you're 32.
In my mind, I'm 32.
There you go. And it's all what you have in your mind. Nothing else really matters. That's all that counts. What did you do for your – well, I know what you did for your birthday. I was
but
there.
Everyone else doesn't.
Well, I know. We went out. We celebrated your birthday on Mother's Day.
So it was birthday / Mother's Day.
That's right. And so –
We did the weirdest thing.
You know, people are going to think we're weird. We wanted to find a place that would not be crowded for Mother's Day, because, you know, everybody, you go out on Mother's Day, and it's like it's close to going out to Valentine's Day.
Right,
you know, we're
right.
so crowded. So we went to Hamburger Mary's again in Orlando.
Which was wonderful, and it wasn't crowded at all.
And you had your sons come.
I had
that
my
was
boys.
Hysterical.
Yeah, and I kind of explained the place to them, and they were cool with it. They were cool with it. I mean, you know, it's a different experience.
It was, but the food there is so good. So that was a lot of fun, and that was good. And didn't you also get a pedicure?
Yeah, that was, well, because I was going to my sister's this weekend. My nephew's getting married, so the bridal shower was this weekend. And, you know, had to dress up and thought, okay, get a pedicure. My daughter got her nails done.
Cool.
And as I'm getting this pedicure, it was a new nail person.
You didn't
there.
Go to the place we always go to.
No. No.
That was your mistake.
I know. Mm-hmm. We were just, yeah. Anyway, this woman was very friendly.
What do you mean? It was very odd.
She's doing my pedicure, and she said to me, "Does that feel good?" And I'm like, now I felt creepy and weird.
Seriously?
She said that.
Did you say anything else?
Well, she wanted to know if I wanted my eyebrows waxed, but that really had nothing
well,
to do with it.
Well, wait a second. Did she say, you want to go in the back for wax?
Actually, she did.
That's slang. No, I'm absolutely kidding. Oh, my goodness.
But she She was just a little, I mean, she was trying to make me feel comfortable,
yes,
and I get
course.
That, but I just, of course, took it the wrong, pervertedly
well,
weird way.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, did you like the pedicure?
Mike, it came out great,
and
okay. It was very relaxing, and I really enjoyed it. I'm kidding around here.
I know, I absolutely know you are, because, you know, always when you go for a pedicure, I just like to go to the same place because they know you.
Yes.
You know, and I have a lady, and she's from Vietnam, and she's the coolest woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she always says, like, you know, like, I flinch, I'm a flincher, you know, like, I don't like...
No, you're a hysterical laugher.
Well, I laugh a lot when they're touching my feet, it makes me giggle and I can't stop. And it's to the point where it gets ridiculous. I mean, I break out in a sweat, I start laughing so
oh,
much.
Wow.
I can't, it's like torture, I'm telling you.
And I see, I love it. I guess I don't have sensitive feet.
Well, she told me last time that I kept moving my feet because I'm like, you know, oh, don't, yeah. And then she told me, she said, "You'll move your feet, I make it hurt." And I was like, okay, I'm not going to move my feet at all. And they were like frozen, paralyzed feet in place. And then last night, I banged my toe in the kitchen.
Oh,
not
really?
That anyone wants to hear this, but, okay, you know how some people have a really low, you know, tolerance for pain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have, like, you take the lowest tolerance that you know and then drop it down, like, 10 times that. So I turned around in my kitchen. I was making dinner, and I hit my toe on the chair in the kitchen. And I think I screamed. And the reason I know I screamed is everyone came running. But then no sound would come out after that. And, just, you know, others just went, ow, ow.
That's one of those, you feel like you broke your toe.
I thought it went all the way up to my spine.
Oh, my God.
How bad it hurt. And I'm like, and at this point now I'm writhing on the floor. And my husband's like, it's her knee. My daughter's like, "No, Dad, I think it's her toe." Then my other daughter comes in and it's like, no, I think it's her toe." And anyway, it was a long, yeah. So it took like 2 minutes for me to be able to talk.
Wow.
And when I finally was able to get the words out, I got no sympathy because everyone thought
it was really dramatic.
It hurt. It really hurt. Aww. Nobody understood. No one understands me. Anyway, okay, so we're gonna have our topic tonight, which is, as we know, dysfunctional families. So maybe I am from one, and we're gonna find out if we're all from one, because that's kind of the neat
yeah,
thing
I'm
that we're gonna find
to
about tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to take this test because I am quite certain that I had a more dysfunctional childhood than a lot of people.
Well, I bet you did, because I happen to know a little bit about it. And actually, they talk about that in what our topic's going to be tonight. And I think everybody, here's the thing, and that everyone needs to know this. All kidding aside, it's unusual not to be from a
dysfunctional
family.
Right. I mean, how can you come from this perfect, normal family? It's impossible.
It truly doesn't exist. It only exists in people's minds and in storybooks and on those TV commercials that we watch. Yeah, and the Donna Reed Show. Which, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day how I wished we could all go back to the 1950s. Because
mm-hmm.
it seemed like such a neat time, mm-hmm. you know? Of course, I wasn't alive then, so
we
don't know.
Really know.
So, but it, again, it's the pictures. It's the thing
we saw. It
just seemed
very happy, homey, yeah.
Well, I'm intrigued with advertisements from the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
and I have several volumes of books of ads and commercials from the 1950s.
Really?
Yeah, and I think on next week's show, remind me, I'm going to read you all some of those ads, and they are, you all will die laughing. I just found, oh, you know what? I should read it on the show on the 25th because we all need laughter.
Oh, there
it's the
you
best
go.
Medicine. That's what I'll do. We'll make a note of that. Really, write that down.
Okay.
And yeah, so some of the stuff that they said in there was just hysterical. Just one of them that I found absolutely marvelous was they actually, outside of Las Vegas, where they were setting off those atomic bombs in
mm-hmm.
the 1950s, they actually had viewing stations. And they used to have it as like a tourist thing. You can come watch where the atomic bombs were being tested.
Oh, really?
Now, okay, those people probably glowed when they were done. But at the time, it was like a new thing. Nobody
well,
knew
people
the
didn't
dangerous.
Know the dangers.
It was hysterical. And that was an actual ad.
Wow.
It was hysterical. I thought, wow, that's just amazing to me. So, as many of you all know, we reside in Florida, yeah, and so you live 10 minutes from me, so the Casey Anthony case, which has taken over
yes,
the country.
That is the news item right now.
Yeah, and it's really, of course it's big here because, you know, it happened here, and it happened about 10 minutes, 12 minutes away
yeah.
from where we live. And it's hard to imagine, but, you know, now they're doing jury selection, And I heard that last night they had to let go 49 jurors because there was one girl who was, and I remember the night this was on, you know, the house, the Anthony's home, it was a pretty average.
Yeah, it's
home.
Your moderate household.
Yeah. And people were, but it wasn't like a gated community, so people were like coming up to the house. And one woman, an elderly woman, I don't want to say elderly because, God, she's probably my age. But anyway, she was holding a sign, and she got a little aggressive with Mr. Anthony. And so the police came, and Lee Anthony was out there, and Cindy was trying to pull Mr. Anthony away and all this stuff. Long story short, she turns out to be one of the people that were pulled in for jury selection.
Oh, no way.
And so while she was in line with these other possible jurors, she started talking about it, saying how she wouldn't get picked because, which tainted the jury. And then, the jury pool. So now 49 of them got let go. Then we had another guy today who I guess he owned a convenience store, and he decided he didn't want to be on the jury because he couldn't, you know, just didn't want to. I guess he couldn't afford to, didn't want to, whatever.
Right.
And so he had made up a story, and the judge found out, and so now he held him, I think, in contempt of court and fined him $450.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Another guy claimed he had baseball tickets, I guess, and he was supposed to take his grandma, so the judge, I think, offered to pay for those baseball tickets because they're having a heck of a time finding a jury.
Well, the problem is, this is going to be a long-term case, so you're going to lose a lot of your life, your job, all those things.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and there's just so much going on. And I know that, you know, we don't want to we're not going to – I don't pass judgment on anything that's going on as far as, you know, what she did or what she didn't do. I just think that there's going to be – I just think there's going to be a lot of people brought in and suspicion brought on a lot of other people to take the ownership.
You think that's what's
going to
happen?
I think that they have no direct evidence saying that it's premeditated
murder. Right.
That's what I think, just from the evidence that's been provided.
Well, that's what I was thinking. There's just not a whole lot of concrete evidence.
There's not. I mean, the whole chloroform thing, the search was done at home, but her dad, who was a retired or former police officer, and Lee and Cindy all had access to that computer.
Right.
You know, but I know that's what they tell us now, but I also know that there was that meter reader from Florida Power and Light who allegedly read meters in that neighborhood, and then he allegedly, and y'all...
He's the one that found the body, right?
Well, he found the body, but he didn't find it one time.
Oh,
okay.
He didn't? Mm-mm.
He found that body three times, and he kept calling it in, and nobody would pay attention.
Oh.
And he knew it was there. This is what I find very odd. And I'm just saying that...
Well, this
that
is
I
everything
think
that
gonna,
we've been hearing.
Yes, I think that they're going to probably point the finger at him, because not only do they have to try and poke holes in the state's case, but they're also going to try and, you know, maybe point the focus on to the possibility of it being somebody else, you know. So I bet we hear more of that. And also interesting, she hasn't seen her parents since 2008, I believe.
Really?
They
Why
have not
is
been
that?
That's a question. That's a real question.
She's refused to see them?
She has. They keep saying it's not a good idea, and I just wonder if there's going to be some focus pointed in a direction in that way. I don't know. I'm just saying it's interesting. So I know one thing I will tell everybody is that living here in Florida and having it happen so close to my house, you know, when that I had a person that I know who was just. She was just so upset by this because she had a daughter the same age, and so she was at the house. She went there. When they found the body, she went over there that day, and she met with an employee who worked for Grace, Nancy Grace or whatever her name is, the one on the news, and this woman told Natalie that she knew about the sticker, the tape, the bag and the pillowcase inside the bag, the whole nine yards, and that wasn't released for a long time after
that. Really?
And I was really kind of surprised at that. So it does show you that there's information out there that people don't know.
Well,
so
and
might,
I'm sure, and you don't usually find out that stuff till they go to trial and it all
it
gets
comes
brought
out,
up.
Right? So I think there's probably other information that's out there, too, that's going to come up that we didn't know about. But I just thought, you know, we'd mention it.
Well, it's such a tough, and finding a jury that that don't already have a preconceived opinion. I mean,
right.
that's got to be tough.
That's the hardest part. Everybody, unfortunately, everybody has.
Well, because it's been so widely newscast, that you're not going to find a person that doesn't know what's going on.
No, you're really not going to. So it'll be interesting, and any new information that we find here, you know, if our listeners are interested, we'll be happy to let you know anything
sure.
that we find out here. You know, send us an email. If you all don't want to hear this, let me know, because I will never mention it again. But if you are interested in hearing some of the things that you may not hear, you know, across the country, we'll be happy to report that. And I also heard on the news, Kate Gosselin had an announcement.
What's
okay.
that?
She's not really a good dancer. I thought that was
There's
so
a
funny.
Shock.
That was a big shock, wasn't it? I don't know if anybody knows it, but today was and is Bob Marley passed away today. And hopefully in a little bit I'll be able to play a Bob Marley song.
Well, he passed away how many years ago?
Well, yes. Oh, yeah. I don't mean today.
Not today.
I mean, today's the anniversary of his death. He passed away from cancer, I think. But, yeah, I was going to play a song for him today, but unfortunately I had a little problem downloading it, so I don't think we're going to get that song because we had a little trouble with that. So we'll be back in 2+2, and then we're going to take some live calls right away. Christian Psychic Cafe. We are so glad to have everybody call in tonight, so I'm not going to make anybody wait any longer. I'm going to go ahead and take a call right now. I'm going to put someone live right now. Hi, you're live with Dr. Ginny. How can I help you?
Hi.
Hi. How can I help you tonight?
Okay, who are you talking to? Okay, wait a minute. Okay. I do have a question.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm hearing you on another signal. I have been on a streak of a lot of bad things happening.
Okay.
And I'm just stuck with why these things are happening. Okay. I know that I'm a good person, and I know I do a lot of good things and deeds-wise and helping people, and I have a lot of love in me to give, but I don't understand why all of these bad things are happening.
Okay, when did these bad things start happening? Was there one specific event in your life that you felt might have contributed to it?
Well, about a year and a half ago, I was laid off from a job that I absolutely adored. I was very successful with it, and I became ill mm-hmm. for the second time with the same illness unexpectedly, and I was terminated during this illness.
Mm-hmm.
So my illness played a part in it, but then losing a career that I absolutely adored took its toll on me. You know, and it's just, you know, I bought insurance policies to help out and so forth in the event that anything was to ever happen, learning from a first experience, and
mm-hmm.
all of that had backfired on me. You're not protected in any way anymore.
No.
And
no.
I just don't understand why all of these bad things are happening.
Well, the one thing I'm going to tell you is that I as I sense you, I'm seeing a lot of what I would consider negative energy. Now, that doesn't mean, and I don't want this to go in this direction. I don't want you to think I'm saying that someone's connected negative energy to you. I'm not saying that. I'm sensing a negative aura from you. And I know that it's almost, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm almost feeling like you, at this point, you don't want anything to go bad, but you're almost expecting it at this point. Like, what's the next thing that's going to go wrong? Because it's like everything's going wrong, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Everything is.
Okay. Well, okay, so a couple of things here, okay? You're right. Insurance doesn't always insure us against the things that we need to be insured against, because if you don't have a job, you can't pay the premiums, right? So that doesn't help. I'm seeing, though, that part of what's going on with you is that the stress, the stress started long before a year and a half ago. There was stress, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And I see that stress ball has kind of been building, and it's almost been building a bubble of negative energy around you. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something, and you're not going to, you may not see it this way right now, but I'm going to ask you to think about it for just a minute. You know how sometimes when we get up for work and we're late, and then we run into our closet to put something on, and maybe, I don't know, you find out it wasn't there, it wasn't ironed, it wasn't clean, and you're like, oh, darn, and then you're late to work, and then your entire day is thrown off. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Do you kind of feel like your life's been that way?
For the past couple of years, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So there's a couple of things that you can do to change it, okay? Instead of you right now, you're putting everything else in control of you instead of you controlling your life. And there are some steps that you can take to change that. Are you currently looking for work?
Yes.
Okay.
And
you're having difficulty finding work, but I think that there's part of the reasons why you're having difficulty finding work, are there some health issues you're still dealing with?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
so
it doesn't stop me from pursuing my dreams.
And it shouldn't stop you from pursuing your dreams. And I see that you're not compromising in that way at all. But what I do see is that that's kind of holding you back a little bit. And I have to hit on this one more time. I keep getting the stress management. If you could keep your stress a little bit more under control, and we'll talk about that in a second, then some of the illness that's associated with it would be lessened. Is that true?
I'm not sure exactly, but there's a great chance, yes.
Yeah, I'm being shown that's actually probably the case. And so the first thing then to focus on is the stress management, okay?
Okay.
And unfortunately, this probably would take more than we have time tonight to talk about, but that's your first goal, is to work on the stress. Okay, and there are steps,
okay,
again, that you can take to make that more manageable. And if you do that, it's going to affect every other area of your life. I know you're very strong and you're very strong-minded. I get that. But you need to focus. Sometimes we have too broad a focus, and it's like, okay, how am I gonna handle all these things coming at me at once? But you don't have to. Right now you only have to handle the one thing, and that one thing is to focus on reducing the stress management, and there are some specific ways that you can do that. I hope we have a chance to talk, not on the show, so that we can go into detail about that some more, but that will help you. Now, do you also anticipate a move coming up?
If it was up to me, yes.
Well, actually, I do see it. You are going to be moving in the next 6 to 8 months.
Does it say where?
I do not know where. I just know a move is it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen.
Is this move a positive thing?
It's a positive thing for you because you're going to be taking back some kind of independence.
Okay.
Okay, makes sense?
Yes, it does. I have one more question.
I'm ready.
If I may. I am in the middle of a very large court battle where I am the countersuit, the counter person. And this particular case, being that I am headstrong, mind strong, for lack of better words, I believe in what I'm doing is the right thing to do.
Because it's based on principle is what I'm getting. For you, it's principle. It's all about
it
principle.
It is principle.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
It's very much principle. And I'm wanting to know if you know if I'm doing the right thing.
What I'm going to tell you is, okay, ordinarily I would say back away now, because sometimes when we're fighting on principle alone, we end up biting off more than we can chew, and we cut off our nose to spite our face. But I am not getting that with you. I'm getting, do not stop what you're doing.
Okay.
I know that you've been advised by others to back away, walk away, leave it alone, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've had
six
attorneys tell me to walk away.
See, and when your attorney's telling you that, you know, they're the one
that's not my attorney.
It's
just attorneys in general.
Okay, well, what I'm going to tell you is I'm getting a really strong no, do not back away. Don't know why, but that's what I'm getting. So what I'm seeing is maybe this is part of taking back your control. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. So on that, I'm not getting the message that you should walk away. I'm getting the message, fight for your principle. Whether there's monetary gain or something like that is not part of this. It's the principle.
Yes, it is about. It's about justice for.
Right.
I'm not just standing up for myself. I'm standing up for the American people, and I believe in what I'm doing is the right thing to do for me and other people. While I am the main concern because it is my particular case, I still believe in helping the American people with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm being shown don't back down, so I have to say that for that the answer to that question is definitely do not back down.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
Listen,
you.
Thank you for calling in tonight. How did you find us?
I heard through a friend of mine about the show, so I wanted to call.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you for calling in, and please stay on and listen to the rest of the show. Okay.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. Okay, great. You know, there a lot of times when we talk to folks, there's not always a simple answer.
Right.
And a lot of times, and particularly, you know, one of the things she was saying, you know, there's a lawsuit and she's countering. It's a countersuit. And a lot of times, you know, we find out that we're cutting our nose off to spite our face because we don't want to. You know, we don't want to have somebody enforce their principles on us, whether they're right or wrong.
Right.
But in her case, I feel very strongly that she needs to keep fighting,
because
it's that important. It's not being revealed to me why, but it is being revealed to me that she should not give up. And that's unusual. That's not normally the advice.
And it sounds
I would
like
probably
she doesn't
give.
Want to give up anyway.
No, and you know what? She shouldn't. She
right.
absolutely shouldn't. Huh? Very interesting. Okay, very good. Now I want to talk to everybody a little bit about dysfunction because. a lot of us grew up in families, all of us, probably, most of us,
I would
majority
think so,
of
unless
us.
You dropped out of the sky.
Right, because we had to grow up in a family. that you know, maybe wasn't the perfect storybook family that we see. And you know what? There are a lot of storybook families that aren't, quote-unquote, normal. I'll give you an example. Being dysfunctional is so normal that even Winnie the Pooh was fashioned after a dysfunctional family.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Now, I want you to think about this. Piglet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Obviously needed Ritalin. Tigger was hyperactive. Winnie the Pooh?
Uh-huh.
Eating disorder.
That's for sure.
Am I right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, follow along here. Eeyore? Manic depressive.
I was going to say depressed.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you look at all of them, now I have heard that Christopher Robinson had gender issues. I don't know, but I'm just teasing about that. But seriously, they're, you know, really, when you look at a lot of your storybook characters, there's a little dysfunction.
But that's life, I guess.
Because they're fashioning these stories after real life.
Right.
So it is pretty normal. So let me tell you some of the things that I deal with on a daily basis that deal with dysfunction. Somebody will say to me, my dad is an alcoholic, and I was always afraid to invite kids over because I didn't want them to see what my family was really like. I never really got close to people, and now I don't seem to know how to get close to people. I don't know how to have a good relationship, and most of the time I feel pretty alone. That's for children who grew up with a dad or a mom who is an alcoholic.
Yeah, I can relate to that one.
I know you could, and I know that's something that was a dysfunction in your family when you grew up, and it was a real problem. And
definitely affects your life.
Yeah, it does. It does. It affects it in a lot of ways, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But that's it's tough. And then some children say, or some adults say, I was an adult when I was a child. I cooked, I cleaned, I made sure my brothers and sisters got off to school. My mom was always depressed. She stayed in bed a lot. She was in the hospital a lot. They'll tell me they never really had a chance to be a child. And now, you know, like a lot of them, like in college, they work really hard to get A's. They take on lots of responsibilities, and they put on this very confident front. But inside, they're just scared to death and empty because they feel like they've never had a chance to be a child.
Right.
You know, and these are just some of the dysfunctions we see. Another one is we're overly ambitious parents. You know, they'll say, my parents had these really great ambitions for me, and they told me what my career should be like and who my friends should be and what kind of car I should drive or who I should or shouldn't date, and they expected me to be perfect. But the truth is they don't have the confidence that their parents even think that they can blow their nose right. And so whenever that person tries to become even a little bit independent, you know, the parents try to control them with money, right? So these are just some of the things that we deal with. And then, of course, there's alcoholism, there's mental illness, there's child abuse, there's extreme parental rigidity and control with family functioning. So, you know, it can affect all of us as we get older. It starts to present itself in different ways. So adults raised in dysfunctional families frequently report difficulties forming and maintaining intimate relationships, maintaining positive self-esteem, trust issues with others. They fear a loss of control. And actually, they'll actually deny their feelings and reality a lot. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk a little bit about what is a dysfunctional family. A dysfunctional family at first can be any condition that interferes with a healthy family functioning. So like most families, they'll have some periods of time where everything's functioning, you know, pretty okay, but there might be a stressful situation or a circumstance like a death in the family or a serious illness or job loss that causes, a crisis, and then the crisis passes, and then it's okay and everything goes back to normal. But in a dysfunctional family, problems tend to be chronic, and children do not consistently get their needs met. And that's pretty much the concise definition. Children are not getting their needs met. So negative patterns of parental behavior will tend to dominate on children's lives when they grow up in dysfunctional families. Now, in healthy families, you know, they're not always perfect. You know, there's yelling, there's bickering, there's misunderstanding, tension, hurt, and anger, but it's not all the time. It's not the rule of thumb. So in healthy families, you'll have emotional expression, and it's allowed and it's accepted. You know, and the children are treated with respect, and they're not fearful to be emotional. They're not fearful of physical or verbal abuse or, God forbid, sexual abuse. And parents can be counted on to provide for the children. So that's kind of what a normal family would be like. And then in a dysfunctional family, some parents underfunction, where they leave their children to fend for themselves. So, and then in other families, the parents overfunction, which is a form of dysfunction, and they don't allow their children to grow up and be on their own. So it's this inconsistent or not knowing where the basic boundaries of appropriate behavior are, and that's what we're talking about. So in a deficient family, parents hurt their children more by omission than commission, and frequently chronic mental illness or a disabling physical illness contributes to parental inadequacy. Now, this is important. When children have to take on adult responsibilities, okay, from a young age in these type of families, the parental emotional need takes precedent over what the children's needs are. And often the children are asked to be the parents' caretakers. Now, many of us have seen where there's always that child at school, maybe one of the school children's friends. They're old beyond their years, you know. And I'm not talking about somebody who's just an old soul, because we see that too.
Yeah.
But we're talking about somebody where the child is taking care of everything. The child's cooking, the child's cleaning. Now, I know there's a lot of children out there that might be even listening to this, even though you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be 18 years or older. But I'm sure they're thinking, well, I clean and I do chores and I cook once in a while. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about where the parent or parents are always in bed, always ill, always depressed, always unable to function. So that child literally has to not only raise him or herself, but also the siblings. And it's up to them to make sure the clothes are washed and that the food is on the table and that they get to school and the groceries are bought, okay? These are children that are in a dysfunctional family. And these children are simply unable to play an adult role and take care of their parents. So they always feel inadequate and guilty because they think, well, I should be able to do this. And those feelings will continue as they become adults, and it will continue right into adulthood. So that's one kind of dysfunction. Okay, there's like four basic kinds of major dysfunction, but that is one of them, where the parents basically make the children be the parents. Or the
I can't
parents,
even imagine that. Poor kids. I mean, here you're supposed to enjoy your childhood, and you're having to be the parent.
Yeah,
or your parent.
It's rough. It's sad, and yet we see this a lot. And I'm sure if many of you think about it, we've seen situations like that. And, again, there's ways to fix this. Mm-hmm. But as these children grow up, they generally tend to be the kind of person that can never say no. They're always doing for other people. And they have a tendency then to let their own needs go.
I can see that.
And that's a problem. And so, and there's some other ways that they present themselves, and I'll talk about that in a minute. We'll be back in 2+2.
When you cry, be sure. Dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride. Don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. And when you dream, when you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big. And when you laugh, be sure. Laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry all your cares away. And when you see
when the troubles come your way. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean. When you dream, it might come true.
Back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I popped into the chat room real quick, and I'm looking at some of these things in here, and I'm hearing, and I'm kind of shocked a little bit. Someone said they never heard of that story, and it says Susie doesn't listen to the news, and I'm assuming they're talking about Casey Anthony, and so she'd be a lot like you.
I was going to say, I am the first one. I don't really watch the news. I find it kind of depressing.
Folks, when there's a national disaster, we have to call Jessica and let her know something's actually going on in the world.
Well, and I get the newspaper, but I like to read the ads and the coupons, and I know.
I think that's the river of denial.
And
okay.
It works for me.
So back to dysfunctional families. So we have deficient parents.
Right, deficient.
And then we have controlling parents. Controlling parents are unlike deficient parents because controlling parents fail to allow their children to assume responsibilities appropriate for their age, okay? You know, these are parents who are the coddlers, you know.
I know quite a few of those.
We're all overprotective to a point, myself included. But these parents continue dominating and making decisions for their children well beyond the age that's really necessary. So a controlling parent often are driven by fear of becoming unnecessary for their children. You see, a lot of times as parents, we're afraid that our children are going to grow up and get hurt, okay?
Right.
So we don't want them, you know, there's some parents that don't want their children playing basketball or football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basketball, I don't think they can get hurt unless they, well, okay.
Sprain an ankle.
Sprain an ankle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I think football, they're always worried about that neck injury.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then, you know, I know with my girls, they got really good at gymnastics, and they got to the point where they were, you know, like brown
gym. That can be dangerous.
Yeah, and I really wanted to stop it. Now, that wasn't because I was afraid of them growing up, but there are truly parents out there, and I think you all have to really look at yourselves to see if you're one of those types of parents. Are you concerned for your children's welfare, or are you afraid that if they grow up that you will become unnecessary and they will no longer need you? Because this fear will leave your children feeling betrayed and abandoned. And you know what? These children are very resentful. They feel inadequate. They feel powerless. That's really what you end up doing when you're afraid of letting them grow up for fear that they'll leave you. A healthy rearing situation is to raise your children to be independent, free thinkers,
right,
so that they can move out. And I don't mean that as a joke. I mean truly move out, become an adult, a responsible adult, and take on responsibilities. If you cripple them,
mm-hmm,
and don't allow them to be able to do that, then what happens is
you cripple them from making any independent choices as adults, and they're constantly left second-guessing, and they constantly need validation, okay? And they tend to feel as they grow up that if they become adults and act responsible, then it's an act of disloyalty, okay? So that's, you know, we've got to watch that because it's, we always have to examine why are we doing what we're doing. It's important, you know. I think the most important thing we could do is raise our children to be independent, free-thinking adults.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's the most important thing. Alcoholic parents. Alcoholic families tend to be chaotic, unpredictable. Rules that apply one day won't apply the next day. You know, unfortunately, sadly,
yeah,
about this.
I remember that.
Promises are neither kept nor remembered. Expectations vary from one day to the next. They might be strict at one time and totally indifferent at another. And what they tend to do is they will maybe sometimes show favoritism to one child over another. Doesn't mean that they don't love them both, but that's how you grow up feeling. Family members are usually expected to keep problems a secret, so they prevent anyone from knowing about it, then that prevents them from getting any kind of help. So a lot of times, you know, when somebody grows up in an alcoholic family, and if you feel comfortable with this.
Oh, sure,
you know,
sure. I mean, I came to terms with this quite a long time ago.
So what was it like for you?
Well, I still have a father who was an alcoholic. I mean, he ended up cleaning up his act, and unfortunately it kind of destroyed our relationship. But but my mother tried to make up for what he lacked, which was good. She tried to give us
a
solid life, but we did, you know, keeping it secret, not letting other people know, not having friends spend the night, you know, not having your normal childhood.
Right, because you didn't want to expose them to the reality of what was going on in
your
family.
Well, because it was embarrassing.
Right, okay. And so did you feel insecure? Did you feel frustrated? Did you feel angry a lot?
Oh, yeah. Insecure, and I still have that insecurity. That's a hard thing to get rid of.
It really is. You know, did you ever feel that there was something wrong with you and that's why your father did this?
You know what? I think my mother kind of balanced that out, at least, because she always, you know, brought up his negatives so that we wouldn't feel like it was us.
Right.
You know, and that I appreciated. I wished we didn't have to grow up that way.
Right, because you want to grow up trusting your dad
right.
and believing in him. I can understand
that. I mean, it affected,
that.
I think, my feeling towards men, too.
Well, it does, because you have a very big non-trust of them.
Yes.
So it's really hard for you whenever you meet a new guy, right?
Well, very hard to trust.
Yeah,
to trust.
It really is. And that's indicative of anyone who grows up in an alcoholic family where parents or a parent was an alcoholic.
Right.
And that's exactly one of the ways that it shows itself. The next one is probably the most distasteful, which is abuse of parents. Now, abuse can be verbal, it can be physical, it can be sexual. Verbal abuse, such as frequent belittling or criticizing, can have lasting effects, particularly when it comes from those that the children look up to. You know, a lot of times parents do it in a joking way because they grew up in a household that way, right? So, you know, they may be aiming at the child's looks, their intelligence, their capabilities. And some of them can be very direct, while others might be subtle, little put-downs disguised as humor. But both types are just as damaging. And you know, we all make little jokes to our kids. I mean, that's normal.
But they know we're kidding. They know we love
them. Right, exactly. But when a child never hears, "That's a great job," or "You look beautiful," doesn't matter what you wear, you're a beautiful person inside and out. That's what children need to hear. Those are what we call qualifiers. Those are things that build a child up, that builds up their self-esteem. A child needs to hear the words, "I love you." Now, I know that many of the people that I've talked to over my last 18 years of doing this have told me that they have parents that have never said the words, "I love you."
Oh, I can relate
to
that.
And it's hard to imagine. And does that parent not love them? No, the parent absolutely probably does love
them. Right, they just can't say it.
They just don't know how to express that emotion. And undoubtedly you'll find there was dysfunction in their family when they grew up. Okay? So it's tough. The physical abuse can vary widely. Many parents at one time or another have felt the urge to strike their children. We all have.
Yes, I have one child that,
you know,
still feel that way. He's 25.
I mean, I know that there were times that I have gone into my room and shut the door because I someone was going to get a fanny whacked if I didn't walk away, you know, because we were one of those people that didn't believe in spanking,
right.
And we still don't, and it's worked actually very well for us. But with physically abusive parents, the urge is very frequent, and there's little effort made to control the impulse. So, you know, if you look at the Federal Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, it defines physical abuse as the infliction of physical injuries such as bruises, burns, welts, or cuts, bone or skull fractures, anything that's caused by kicking, punching, biting, beating, knifing, stabbing, or paddling. That's the actual definition. I had it written down.
Knifing.
I know. Like, you know, I think when you're knifing your child, at that point you've got to know that this is not good behavior.
No, oh my God.
You know, if you're brought to physical anger, and I've always said this, you know, we're trying to teach our children that when we get upset and we get angry, we don't lose control,
right.
And go out and do, you know, punch people or break things or throw things. But if we react the same way, children mimic us, and there's not a parent out there who hasn't seen their child mimic them and been proud at some point, thinking, oh, how cute, look, they're doing what I do. Well, they pick up our bad behaviors, too.
Yeah, or
and
language.
So we must live by example, and we have to set a good example for them. So striking a child has much to do with meeting the parent's emotional needs and nothing to do with the concern for the child. Parents are often erroneously justifying the abuse as discipline, which is supposed to, quote-unquote, help the child. But physical abuse of parents can create an environment of terror for that child. And particularly, the violence is often random, and it's unpredictable. So abused children will grow up feeling angry. Children of abusive parents have tremendous difficulties developing feelings of trust and safety, even into their adult lives. And it's sad, and I know that a lot of our listeners have grown up in environments like that, and it's hard for people who've never grown up in that kind of environment to understand what that could be like and how difficult it can be. Just imagine the person that you admire and that you love most in the world is also the person that's beating and abusing you on a daily basis. It's not a good situation. My husband grew up in a semi-abusive home. His mother, my husband's from Germany, and his mother, when he would get home from school, she'd have a stick, and she'd whack him. And he's like, why am I getting beat? And she said, because I'm sure you did something today at school that deserves it.
Yeah,
which is really hard, you know. And so, you know, he had a lot of difficulties with that. He couldn't understand it. He never truly felt connected to his parents as much as he could have. He always said to me, he said, my parents were the two people that raised me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he can't say that he necessarily felt, quote unquote, the love. That's obviously a dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, to have somebody hit you when you walk in the door, you know, you're excited coming home from school.
It's horrible.
That's
absolutely horrible. You know, so really sad, and that's one of the things he's so critical about is making sure that he tells his children he loves them all the time, and never raised a hand to them. You know, thank God,
right.
Because he knew he saw what would happen.
Well, some people do manage to get through it and learn from that.
Well, you have to, and you have to sit down, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about in just a minute. You have to sit down and rationalize what has happened. It doesn't define who you are today,
right.
And that's a critical thing. And while parents may justify or rationalize, verbal abuse, it's never right. They always say it's aimed at somehow helping the child, but the truth is, it's not. And probably the worst abuse in my book is sexual abuse. It's the most blatant example of an adult abusing a child purely for their own, you know, gratification, because truly that's what it is. And it's sexual abuse can be any physical contact between an adult and a child where that contact must be kept secret. And I've always said, you know, even during normal counseling, when I'm talking to somebody, if somebody says I had to keep a secret or I didn't tell him or he didn't tell me, a secret's a secret for a reason, folks. And so if a child feels like they have to keep something a secret, that means there's something wrong with it.
Right.
Okay? There's something wrong with the behavior or what was said, and that's why it's being kept a secret. So demonstrations of affection like hugging, kissing, or stroking a child's hair that can be done openly are quite acceptable. I mean, that's fine. It's beneficial for a child to get hugged.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. But when physical contact is shrouded in secrecy, then it's most likely inappropriate. And sexual abuse happens for both boys and girls, and it's perpetrated by both men and women, and it cuts across lines of race, socioeconomic level, education level, and religious affiliations. In most cases, sexual abuse is part of an overall family pattern of dysfunction, disorganization, and inappropriate role boundaries. And it's to me, again, the most devastating, because I think our children are the most innocent things in the world. They come into this world trusting, you know. And one of our shows we did was on fear, and there were only two things that we are programmed in our DNA to be fearful of. And what was that? The falling, and I believe it was loud noise, wasn't it? Yeah, and we shouldn't be fearful of our parents or our caregivers.
No, absolutely.
God help
not.
Us, but we should never be fearful of that. I will say that the responsibility, and this is for anyone who has ever been abused, ever, at any point, at any age in their life, any kind of sexual abuse in all cases rests entirely with the adult. No child is ever, 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 ever responsible for being abused. Most sexually abused children are too frightened of the consequences for themselves and their families to risk telling another adult what's happening. And as an adult, they grow into carrying feelings of self-loathing, shame, worthlessness. They tend to be self-punishing. They have considerable difficulties with relationships and with sexuality. And unfortunately, a lot of these children grow up to be drug addicts. They grow up to be alcoholics. And it's pretty sad stuff. So there are all kinds of dysfunction that's out there, okay? And I know this is a little bit of a heavy topic.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it affects everybody's lives, so everybody can relate.
Exactly. So I know there are a lot of people out there saying, you know, I think I might have been in a dysfunctional family. I'm not sure. You know, or I don't know if that dysfunction affected me. So, most people could likely identify with some of the questions I'm going to ask. Now, I want you all to get a piece of paper and a pencil, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read off some questions. And I just want you to put either yes or no,
okay?
All right, so get a piece of paper and a pencil. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to play a very, very short song so that those of you who don't have paper and pencil can grab one. And when we come back on, we're going to go ahead and we're going to ask these questions. And if you answer a certain way to 50% of these, then we will know whether or not you have been affected by, you know, dysfunction in your family. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought about getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Ginny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great.
Faith has brought us here, and we should be too. may seem all right and smile when you leave, but my smile's up just a front, just a front.
Psychic Cafe. Okay, so what we're going to do now, I hope you all have your pencils out, and what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a little test. Now, more than likely, you will answer yes to some of these. You may answer yes to all of them. I just want you to be honest as I go down the list, and just answer yes or no as we read them out. There's no right or wrong answer, okay? Here we go. Question number one. Do you find yourself needing approval from others to feel good about yourself? Question number two, do you agree to do more for others than you can comfortably accomplish? I know one person who has to answer yes to that out there that's listening tonight. Are you a perfectionist? Do you tend to avoid or ignore responsibilities? Do you find it difficult to identify what you're feeling? Do you find it difficult to express your feelings? Do you tend to think in all or nothing terms? Do you often feel lonely even in the presence of others? Do you often feel lonely, even in the presence of... Did I just do
that? That sounds so familiar.
You know, that's why I'm going over it in my head and saying, I just read that one. Is it difficult for you to ask for what you need from others? Is it difficult for you to maintain intimate relationships? Do you find it difficult to trust others? Do you tend to hang at... let me try that again. Do you tend to hang on to hurtful or destructive relationships? I know that a lot of people have a tendency to do that. Are you more aware of others' needs and feelings than your own? Do you find it particularly difficult to deal with anger or criticism? Is it hard for you to relax and enjoy yourself? Do you find yourself feeling like a fake in your academic or professional life? Do you find yourself waiting for disaster to strike even when things are going well in your life? Do you find yourself having difficulty with authority figures? Okay. All right. So, if you find yourself answering yes to over half of these questions, then you likely do have some long-term effects of living in a dysfunctional family. If you find yourself answering yes to the majority of them, you probably should seek some outside help, because that means you did grow up in an extremely dysfunctional family. Now, I know, Jessica, you answered these questions.
Yeah, and I got 10 yeses out of 18. I'm like, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. That, okay, so, but you
that's
did.
That's about 50%.
That's about 50%, and you did know that you did grow up in about,
right.
You know, in an extremely, you know, dysfunctional environment. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mine was.
You had a wonderful childhood.
I was very fortunate. Yeah, I was very fortunate. I was very, very fortunate. There's no doubt. Here's the thing. I think that a lot of our listeners who have 50% or more of these answered yes, they've likely developed a number of valuable skills to get through tough circumstances. Because the first thing you have to realize is that what you learn from your family is very valuable. Many of the survival behaviors that you've developed are some of your best assets. For example, people who grow up in dysfunctional families often have finely tuned empathy for others. Okay, they're often very achievement-oriented and highly successful in some areas of their life, and they often are resilient to stress and pretty much adaptive to change. So in examining changes you may want to make in yourself, it's important not to lose sight of the good qualities, the good benefits that you might have gotten from growing up in a dysfunctional family. So see, it's not all bad. But the negative effects from growing up in dysfunctional families often stem from survival behaviors that were very helpful when you were growing up but may become problematic in your adult life. Remember that you spent years learning and practicing your old survival skills, so it may take a while to learn and practice some new ones. Now, in most dysfunctional families, children tend to learn to doubt their own intuition and emotional reactions. So it's always important to get outside help or an outside objective perspective on what it is that you think you need to know. So in other words, if you need to validate your feelings a lot, okay, because you're not sure if you can trust your own reactions, go to somebody that you trust, somebody that's in your social circle that you feel comfortable with, because sometimes you do need to ask another adult whom you are respectful of, you know, this is how I'm feeling. And trust is also a big issue. So what I'm going to say is, it's important that with trust that you do it a little at a time. I'm not suggesting that anybody opens up all at once, because that would be like opening the dam and you'd get flooded, and that's not good. I would suggest that you slowly start to open up your trust door, okay, and slowly allow people in. And does it mean that everybody that you allow in is going to be okay? No, but that doesn't mean you're making bad judgments. It means that oftentimes in life, we will all trust people that we find out later probably shouldn't have been trusted. That means shame on them, not shame on us. So it's okay to open up your trust door, crack it open, and start trusting people again, because that's one of the biggest deficits that we have when we grow up in dysfunction, is we tend not to trust anybody. Okay? We also have an exaggerated attention to other people's feelings and a denial of your own feelings and experiences. So it's great to be sensitive to others, but if you neglected sensitivity to yourself, that means you haven't been paying attention to what you really are, who you want to be, and what your needs are in life. So stop each day and identify your own emotions. What have you been experiencing? What triggered them? How might you affirm or respond to them? I think it's a great idea for people who grew up in dysfunctional families to try keeping a daily journal and allow your feelings to come out. Be selective in sharing your feelings at first. Like I said, open that trust door slowly. In sharing your feelings with others, take small risks first. And then wait for a reaction. If the response seems supportive and affirming, try to take some larger risks. Forgiveness is a very reasonable last step in recovery. But it's a horrible first step. Children need to believe in and to trust their parents. So when parents behave badly, children tend to blame themselves and feel responsible for their parents' mistakes. You know, when I counsel people, even women who are in an abusive situation, you know, and even though I doing counseling, Christian counseling, I'm going to tell you that it's very hard for me sometimes when I see and talk to people in abusive situations because I know what's going on, and I hear the female say to me, well, I made him do that. I made him angry.
Doesn't that make you just mad and want to yell at them?
Yes, it makes me want to get abusive too, which is not a
right.
by example. Yes, it does. It infuriates me, and what I realize is that this person, whether it be the man or the woman, has this other individual snow. They have them believing that they're causing this other person to abuse them, whether it be verbally or physically. And when it happens as a child, these faulty conclusions, they're carried into adulthood, and it leaves them feeling guilt, shame, low self-esteem. So you have to begin with trying to forgive your parents, okay? Because if you don't try to forgive them, you're going to continue to feel very badly about yourself. You see, you have to place the responsibility for what happened during your childhood where it belongs. Certainly not with you, okay? It's with the responsible adult. And it allows you to feel less guilt and shame and more acceptance towards yourself. And that's the biggest thing that we have to overcome, folks. Growing up in a dysfunctional family, what did we say? The dysfunction is not your fault. As a child, you can't control it. You shouldn't control it. It should never be put upon you. Therefore, you should have no responsibility for it. And it's usually helpful to find, you know, productive ways to vent your anger. There are support groups all over the place, okay, for people who have gone through this. There's actually survivors of incest or adult children of dysfunctional families. There's actually a support group that's out there and meets all over the country. There's adult children of alcoholics. There's Al-Anon. There's Codependence Anonymous. So there's lots of different groups out there that you can go to. You can go to meetup.com. I use that all the time. There's lots of support groups on there. Let me tell you what I did with one of my clients once who was very angry because she grew up with a mother who was alcoholic, and it was very difficult for her. And she grew up to be, by the way, an alcoholic, which she has no – she fights that battle on a daily basis and is winning for many, many years now. But one of her ways to come to terms with this was she wrote a letter to her mother who had already passed away. And she wrote in that letter everything that she felt, placing the responsibility for what happened where it truly belonged, on her mother. And she told her she was angry as a child and angry as an adult, but now she recognizes that her mother had an illness. And then she took it to her mother's gravestone. And she dug a little hole and she buried it there. And for her, it was a huge step forward. Because it was coming to terms with what happened, recognizing it, then deciding to act upon it. Okay, so now she's choosing to take a different direction in her life so that she doesn't make the same mistakes her mother made. And that was very helpful to her because she had to get it out. And sometimes journaling or writing a letter can really help get out what you're feeling inside, because sometimes words can be very difficult for us when we're really emotional. So that's one way that I would recommend that you do it. Journaling, or write a letter to the person who you felt was abusive or dysfunctional in your life, whether they're living or they're deceased. It doesn't really matter. This is what you do. Yeah, it can be very, very helpful for putting those feelings of shame and guilt down and at ease and bringing up something really positive. Okay. I want to get to this next caller because she's been waiting, and I want to make sure that we have a chance to get to her. Hi, you're live. Can I help you?
Hi.
Hi, how can I help you? Who am I
speaking
with?
This is Linda.
Linda, didn't we speak last week?
No, we didn't speak last week. I spoke to you about a month. No, I'm sorry, about a year ago.
Okay. Okay, great.
You know a very special member of my family very well.
Okay.
And I just been, last time I spoke with you, you had pointed out that, you know, things in my life were going to get very bad, and they did. And I'd just like to know when things are going to get better.
Okay. First, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that things did get bad.
Well, you're definitely right about that.
Okay. Let me take a look here and see what I see coming up for your future. Okay.
I was hoping I wouldn't cry.
I'm sorry. You know what? It's okay to cry, though, because sometimes you just have to get those tears out. Don't worry about it. And
I also do want to thank you for always being there for my sister.
Oh, you're very well. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea who your sister is, but
That's okay.
Exactly. The one thing I will say is I always hate having to tell somebody that the things are not going to go well and things are going to go to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, but I will always tell people what I see. Now, the one thing I'm sensing with you, and again, tell me if I'm right or wrong here, I feel very strongly that you were involved in a relationship that was never could never really come to fruition because he didn't belong to you. Is this true?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the other thing that I'm seeing here is that this relationship it ended, but there's still a slight connection, isn't there?
Yes,
it's
there
not
is.
Completely over, is it?
No.
We
just talk. That's all.
You just talk, but there's still that connection. There's still that communication.
Yes.
The thing that I have to ask you, I'm going to ask you this straight out, and I think you know because it's quite clear to me that this gentleman is I'm assuming he's married because I see he's connected in an energy that's not breaking now.
Right.
So he has no plans of leaving his wife.
And
what do you hope to gain by keeping up communication with him?
I just like to keep him in my life.
I know. It's because loving him and not being able to have him is less painful than not having him at all.
Right.
Correct? Okay,
yeah.
I understand that. I understand that. It's a very difficult situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have a little bit of good news for you. I don't know if you're ready for good news yet. And I'll tell you why This is why I'm saying this. I know you want good news, but I know right now you're still kind of, there's still a small part of you that thinks that he may give up what he has there and cross over to your side of the street, so to speak. But what I'm going to tell you is right now I don't see that happening. What I do see happening for you, and I want you to listen to this really carefully. I see that the height of your emotions, believe it or not, you're about 7 months, 6.5, 7 months out from now, you're going to just, don't ask me how or why, something's going to happen in your life. It's not going to be a bad thing, okay?
Right.
But something's going to happen in your life where you're just going to say, you know, I think it's time for me to consider moving on. Because right now, you really don't even feel like you can move on. Am I right?
Oh, well, that's exactly right.
Yeah, okay. I can sense it, and what I can tell you is that you will be ready to move on in 6.5 to 7 months. You will be ready to move on. I don't know what that event's going to be, but it's being shown to me. And you're going to kind of retreat into yourself for a short time, about 2 months. So 6.5, 7 months, this event, and then for about 2 months you'll be retreating into yourself, which means you're just going to kind of sit back and say, what the heck was I doing? What was I thinking? It's almost going to be like you're going to start to see things as an observer and not as a participant, which is going to be really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know that you've been beating yourself up because you almost feel like you're addicted to this man. Is this correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see this. You feel like you're addicted to him and you can't break away from him, and because of that, it's almost like somebody who gets up every morning and takes a drink when they swear they're not going to when they go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
And, and you're so mad at yourself, right?
Yes, very.
Okay, all right. I will say this. It's going to break. The pattern of behavior is going to break. Don't worry. You're going to be out of this before too long. Now, here's the other good part, is that I see another man actually is going to come into your life. I see he's going to come into your life at about the 9.5-10 month mark. And I hope you're writing this down, because I don't keep notes on anything, as I tell everybody all the time. So right about the 9.5 month, 10 month mark, a new man's going to come into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, believe it or not, I don't know why, he's going to have a lot of hair. This sounds crazy. And,
God.
I don't know what else to say, but he has a lot of, I almost see like a beard type thing happening here, okay? And I don't know why. You know what I'm getting? Who is that guy who went to live with the bears? I know I'm making it.
Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams, yes. Okay.
He was cute. Grizzly Adams was cute.
Yes, he was very cute. Okay. I don't know why I'm sensing him, but this is what I'm sensing. He's going to be that kind of guy. And I see a true love match for you. And I feel like you've given up so much in your life to be with this person who was never really there for you. And this is going to turn around for you, okay? And
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry you had to get to the – it's almost like you had to get to the very bottom before you could realize.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Definitely
helpful. Yeah. Well, you know, I know it can be so overwhelming when we feel like we can't crawl out of that, but you are going to, and you're not going to have to worry about it. So keep making the efforts that you do every day, but start
mm-hmm.
looking at things as an observer and not as a participant, and you're going to start to see yourself in a different light. And I want you to stop blaming yourself, because this did take two. I mean, I realize that it took two, okay?
Right.
And to assign blame to anyone at this point is fruitless, so stop doing it. Stop beating yourself up and start moving forward, okay? Because you do have this wonderful man out there waiting for you, okay?
Well, I really do hate that people got hurt.
I know you do. And I also know that was never your intent. I don't doubt that there was wrongs done all around, but it's time to, again, view it as an observer and not as a participant and start moving forward, because you do have a soulmate waiting for you out there. And you know, write down Grizzly Adams. I don't know why, but hopefully you're going to call me in a year and you'll be telling me why, okay? Okay. Listen, you're welcome.
This is one other quick thing. I have possibly a career opportunity coming up. Do you see anything better coming in my future financially?
Financially, in the very immediate future, I don't see. But down the road, yes, I do see that. In the very immediate future, no. I'm not going to tell you I see it in your immediate future. I'd be fibbing. I don't see it happening right away, but I do see a career unfolding for you based on something that you are yet to do.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you haven't.
Okay.
What the job, you do not currently have the job.
No, right, okay, right.
Okay, so that's when it will be a slow growth for you, and I don't see the real career for about 18 months. Now, I do see a job, but I don't see career for about 18 months. Where you actually say, hey, this is where I want to focus. I love doing this. I'm good at it. That's going to be about 18 months away.
Oh, that sounds okay. As long as there's light at the end of the tunnel.
There's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. And do you want to know something? One of the reasons there's light at the end of the tunnel for you is because you've recognized that you have hurt people and you weren't. That was never your intent. It wasn't done with malice. And you're truly, truly regretful for it. And I think that just created so much good karma for your karma bank. You cannot imagine. So keep filling up that good karma bank, okay?
I will. Keep on making deposits.
Okay, that's the deal.
Thanks.
That's the deal. You're welcome. God bless. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Sweet lady. Very, very nice. Very nice. That's always a tough one.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
And so, and let that, you know, a lot of times people ask me if I only say good things to people. Mm-hmm. And obviously I don't, because, you know, I told her that I don't remember. I don't, and folks, I hope I don't ever offend anybody. I don't keep notes. I don't.
Well, and
you
talk
you
to
know,
so many people.
I talk to so many people, so I don't always. Frankly, I don't. I mean, sometimes I do. I'll connect right away, obviously. But other times, I don't know, and I may not remember you. But it's like I never read for you before, and I'll start reading right then and there. I guess the good part of that is at least you know it's coming from the right place, and I'm being honest and frank with you because that's the only way
right,
I know how to do it.
Right.
So,
and that's what everybody should want.
But she has a good future ahead of her, and she just needs to sit back and let it come and not worry about it. Now, Jessica, you know what we need to do?
What?
We didn't do our email, did we?
Uh-oh. The creaky mailbox.
The creaky. Now, see, you say, do you think I'm first of all, rock, paper, scissor, go. What is that? That's a gun.
It's a broken scissor.
No, we got to go again. 1, 2, 3, go. I won again. Jessica's going to go get the mail out of the creaky mailbox. She'll be back in a second. Okay, as I've told everybody in weeks past, send us an email, send us a hello, send us a critical word, whatever you want. Just send us something, and we will put you in our drawing for a free 30-minute in-depth reading with me. And we pick it every show, and we've been picking it every show. And as a matter of fact, I got a wonderful email a couple of days ago from one of the girls who won one of the readings, and I had done
oh,
it
really?
For her. And yeah, she was so kind. She sent me an email, and she said she just wanted to validate what I had said because some of it had come true, and she was just very appreciative and very sweet and very kind, so it was wonderful. Okay, so what kind of emails do we have? You read the first
one. I'm going to read this one.
Okay.
This is from – who is this from? I don't see a name. Okay, well, they forgot to include their name. But
well, we have their email address, so
yes,
don't say it out loud.
I won't say it out loud.
Okay.
Okay, this person says – my husband cheated on me several times over our 15-year marriage. Each time he cheats, he promises never to do it again, and I believe he is truly remorseful, but then it happens again. He has promised me that this is the last time. This last time was really it. Do you think I should still worry about him cheating on me again?
I think I want to abuse him. No, I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that. And let me see this, if I may. It says confused in the Catskills.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm looking for a name.
I'm reading it upside down. I'm thinking, okay, so if you're confused in the Catskills, this is your email. I don't want to read off your email address. Your husband has cheated on you several times in your 15-year marriage. Each time he cheats, he promises never to do it again. Okay, and you believe this time he's truly remorseful each and every time, I guess. Okay, here's the thing. The patterns of behavior that were in effect, unless they have changed, there's no reason to believe he wouldn't cheat on you again.
Right.
Why would he not? It's been a pattern of behavior. Unless there's been something, some kind of counseling, some kind of communication, some kind of soul searching to figure out why this is happening and continues to happen, there's a high likelihood that it's probably going to happen again. Including the fact that, from what it would appear here, is that you keep accepting him back each and every time
which
he does this.
Which is mind-blowing to me.
Sometimes we love people so much that we are willing to overlook a lot of different things. And so I won't judge you for taking him back, but what I would say is if it should happen again, and I feel that there might perhaps be an opportunity that that's going to happen, I would suggest that you both go into counseling to find out why this repeated pattern of behavior keeps happening and why he feels such a great disrespect towards you and your feelings to do that pattern of behavior, because it's not good. You don't deserve this. It shouldn't be happening. And he deserves the same respect that you give to him. You deserve back mirrored back onto you. Okay, and I have a very strong suspicion that you have never cheated on him. And so I would say if it should happen again, definitely get some kind of counseling because it's needed to break that pattern of behavior. Thank you. confused in the Catskills.
Yeah, sorry, confused. Okay. Apparently, I can't read.
Well, I was reading it upside down, and I couldn't read the word Catskills. I'm like, cat kills? What is that? Okay. Okay, so the next email we have is, okay, it says, Dear Dr. Jenny and Miss Jessica, I really enjoyed your show with Lucinda Stryker-Schmidt from last week, the Amish lady. Well, Amish lady, she wrote, you know.
Right.
Separate God. I have ordered her book on Amazon. Oh, good. And can't wait to read it. I was curious, you know, that song, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, was that song started by the Amish? It seems like such an Amish title.
Oh, that's a good question.
That is such a good question. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, her name is Lauren, and that's all I will say. Okay, Lauren. I don't know. John Jacob.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
His name is not. Yeah, wasn't that? Yeah, okay. You know what? Let me Google this real quick. Hold on.
I was going to say, that is not common knowledge, so this should be interesting.
I have no idea. Bam. Okay, here we go. Okay. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt is a traditional children's song of obscure origin. It's a mock German name celebrated in song, and it suggests that young English-speaking children still find it inherently funny. Blah, 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 blah. It is not an unrealistic German name, and we know the Amish had German roots. And it goes on to say that John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt shares many characteristics with the song My Name is John Johnson, a song that can trace its origin to Swedish vaudeville in the late 19th century. So I can't say whether or not it was Amish. Could be.
German origin,
German.
So it's possible.
So it's very possible. And it says that it can be sung in an infinite loop, which I've heard my single children sing in the car and wanted to put a gun to my head. But no, there's a Spanish version called Juan Pedro de la Mar. So... thank
that doesn't
God.
Sound like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Well, it does if you're maybe Mexican, because it says, or Spanish, John,
yeah.
Juan Pedro de la Mar. Okay. You know, the answer is I'm not really sure, but it's German in origin and could come from Sweden. So sorry I don't have an answer for you. Would have been good if we had researched that before. Okay. Want to read the next one?
Okay, let's see.
Okay, you got it. Go ahead.
I got one.
I know, I just almost read the same email. I was going to say, woo, what's that? Okay.
Okay, here's another one. This one is from John. It says, Dear Dr. Jenny and Miss Jessica, I am a single man in my late 40s, and I believe that I heard Miss Jessica is a single woman.
Ooh.
Did we ever mention that? I don't remember mentioning that.
I'm sure we did.
Would it be possible to get her personal email address so that we can talk over the net? Oh, this is hilarious. I feel like after listening to her over the computer for the past 8 weeks that I have come to know her and would love the opportunity to get to know her better.
Oh, I think that's so funny. Let me see this.
That is too funny.
Oh, my goodness. This is pretty cool. And he's from Georgia. Oh, Jessica. So, okay, all right. See, this is something nobody expected.
So we have a dating service now.
I know. So what do you say, Jessica? Do you want to...
Well, considering I don't know this man at all, hey, I'd be willing to, you know, email back and forth.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think that's a good idea. So, John from Georgia, I will tell you what. After the show tonight, we will... send you Miss Jessica's email address.
Sure.
And maybe, perhaps, just maybe you'll be willing to talk about it.
You know what? Wouldn't that be funny?
Wouldn't that be great? You know, I will tell you all that Jessica's been divorced how many years now?
A really long time.
It hasn't been that long.
It's been 8 years.
Yeah, that's long.
That is a
but
long time.
Yeah, but, you know, okay. So in other words, you know, she's not, you know.
I am a very independent person.
She's a very independent
and
person.
And I am very busy all the time, so I have a tendency to not get as involved as I should.
That's right. But maybe you'll make an effort.
Yes. Actually, I've reached the point in my life where I am more than ready.
Okay, great. So we will send you her email address, and let's see what happens. And, And you know what? Even if it's just some nice online
communication,
it doesn't go any further.
That would be wonderful.
Okay too. because it's always nice for people to meet and talk.
That's too hilarious.
That's great. That's kind of neat. See, people get to meet you on the radio show.
That's
Isn't
great.
That cool? That's great. We can't get our children to listen to us.
I know.
Isn't
no
that
kidding.
Great? That's hysterical. Okay, so I'm going to take the next caller, and I believe I have Wanda on the line. This is Dr. Jenny. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Jenny. I wanted to see what you could pick up on my current relationship.
On your current relationship. Let me take a look and see what I can see here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, your name is Wanda?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay, is
yes,
that your
ma'am.
Real first name?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's important because I connect through that. You know, Wanda, it's kind of an odd thing. It's kind of like I'm getting there's a relationship, but there's not a relationship. Is that what's going on in your relationship right now?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I'm sensing like there is a relationship, but there's not a relationship, and it's kind of like it's like a nowheresville. So tell me what's going on.
Well, we've been apart for the past, about a month now, and he kind of started just backing away, and I didn't know why.
Okay.
So he's out of town right now, and he should be coming back in the next couple of weeks, but, you know, he hasn't contacted me, and I have no way of contacting him. So
okay.
At this point, I don't know where the relationship is going.
Okay. Well, you know, the first thing I want to see is if there was another female involved, okay, that he is in a serious relationship with, because I think that's the first question we have to ask ourselves. And I'm going to tell you that I don't see that he is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to emphasize this a little bit. That doesn't mean that he's not connected to another female, but I don't see that he is in a serious relationship with another female, okay?
Right.
I do believe that what he was doing when he was away, it was a work-related thing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Because I see that there was a lot of focus put on that, a lot of focus and a lot of energy put on a work situation, and that's where all of his energies went. And he kind of felt like he didn't really know some – there are some things he doesn't have answers to for you. Do you know what I'm – do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what I mean by that. That's why I'm asking you, do you know what I mean by that? I just sense that there are some – there are some things that he doesn't have answers to for you. And because he doesn't have those answers, he's kind of pulled back because he doesn't have the answers you're looking for. He just simply doesn't know. So I think your next question is going to be, is he going to contact you when he gets back?
Yes.
Okay. I do believe that you will have contact with him when he gets back, but it won't be immediately. It'll be several weeks after he gets back into town.
Okay.
I'd like to tell you it'll be the day, but I don't sense that because he's still coming to terms with what he wants. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's certain answers he just doesn't have for you. And because he doesn't have those answers, he can't give them to you, and he doesn't want to hurt you. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. It doesn't mean he does care. It does mean he cares because he doesn't want to hurt you. But he just simply doesn't have the answers right now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, all right. You're going to be okay with that?
I was with him like 13 years ago, and we got back together a year ago.
Ah, okay.
And at this point, I don't know if I need to keep the relationship or move forward. You know, I'm just at a standstill. I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you be honest with me.
Okay.
Right now, it really doesn't matter because you are not really ready to move forward with anybody else. Not yet. Because you're still in love with him.
Yes.
Okay. So what you need to do is you need to have closure on this or not closure, And the only way that's going to happen is to give it just a little bit more time. You've had a lot of time invested in this relationship, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well see it through to the end, which is not that much further off, because he's going to be back when? In about a month, you said?
In 2 weeks.
Okay. And then it'll be 2 weeks. So you don't have that much longer to wait for him to contact you. And I really think that he has not made his decision yet. I can tell you he has not. Therefore, I cannot give you an answer. If he did, I might get a clue onto that, but he hasn't. With him not being able to make a decision right now, the free will, I don't know what he's going to do. Okay.
See, it's like I'm putting more into the relationship than he is. And so while he's been gone, you know, I've gotten a chance to sit back and look at the big picture and and I don't want to be in a relationship like that anymore and waste more time. You know
more
what I'm
time.
Saying?
And have the clock clicking. I know, clock ticking, yeah. What did I say?
Clock clicking.
Yeah, but, you know, I talk funny sometimes, but we get the point. I think that you are now doing what I suggested the other caller do, which is to become an observer and not a participant. Because when you become an observer, you can look at it more rationally than when you're actually participating in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You all have heard me say many times on this show, pretend that your life is a reality TV show, and I want you to sit on the couch and watch it. And what would you be yelling out to those people on that show? What would they hear you yelling out to them? Because that's probably the advice you should be giving yourself. You want a decision. You're tired of being stuck on no man's land where you don't really know what direction it's going to go in and him having all control, correct?
Right, exactly. Okay. He has all the control.
Yep, and so it's time for that control to end. And the way for that control to end is for you to make a decision. But again, I think for you to have the closure you need, let him get back to town. There will be contact within 2 weeks after that. And then you go ahead and get what you need from it. Make your final decision. And then move forward from there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Yes, I thought about it long enough, but yes.
I know.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're very welcome. Listen, many blessings to you. I know you'll make the right choice. And you got good things coming down the pike, okay, sweetie?
Okay, thank you. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
So much.
God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
are back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with my co-host,
Miss Jessica.
And we're going to take another caller. We've got, it looks like, Linda is on the line. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Dr. Ginny.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Fine.
It's so nice to hear your voice.
I was listening to you, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to call Dr. Ginny and just make her day.
Oh.
And tell you that I'm actually thinking about somebody other than R.
Okay, yes. Okay.
So,
so you have somebody else that you're interested in?
The one that I told you about earlier, the other day, Jorge.
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. So you want to know what's going on there?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Okay, let me take a look here.
Okay.
I know that you mentioned him the other day. Now, see, I'm getting a yes to the positive on him. So has there been some more communique between you and he?
Yes, we were texting today.
Oh, good. That's a good thing. And you're keeping it light, right?
Yes.
Atta girl. Very, very good. Now, see, our listeners don't know anything about this. So all I'm going to say is, Linda, What do I say? What do I say? Linda's been a client of mine, and she's looking for the perfect man, correct?
Right.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's it. And he's coming your way. It's just that you're taking the river and through the woods approach to it. Kind of slow. But it is going to happen. I get positive vibes on him, and I get a positive energy on him. So I think that's going to be an interesting one for you. You know, I can't say whether or not it's the one, but I do get positive vibes. I don't think this one is going to cause the mistrust that the other one has caused.
Okay. Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Okay, that's good, because I feel really, really good about him. I mean, he's just about the nicest person I ever met.
He's a very good soul. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I may not, but the person I said you were going to meet, doesn't he have those characteristics, even the same job that I said?
Yes.
Okay,
that's one reason I went out. I mean, I decided to talk to him because he had the same job that you were talking about. I was going to meet somebody, and he was going to be in the insurance industry, and he wasn't going to make as much money, but he's going to be a good person.
He's a very good person. He's a very good person. I like what I'm hearing. That's very, very good. Keep me informed. Just remember, keep it light.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, I will.
And he's got some stuff he needs to get out, some stuff he needs to share with you. It's a little complicated, but he will do that. But give him the chance to open up like an onion. Don't try and peel him all the way back right away, okay?
Okay, okay.
All right,
okay.
So remember, pace yourself, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I just thought I was like, oh, well, at least he should know I'm thinking about somebody other than ours, so...
Linda, I adore you. Thank you so much for calling in. And you keep me informed, okay?
Love you.
Love you too, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, she's great. She cracks me up. I started talking to her, oh, gosh, maybe 2 years ago. She's a cool lady. She is so cool.
She's got a cool accent.
Oh, she's so sweet, so funny, so nice. I absolutely adore her. Okay, I know we've still got someone else on the line. I want to try and get her in because she's been waiting. Hi, you're live with Dr. Ginny. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Ginny. My name's Rochelle, and I have a career question. But before I say that, ask you about it, I just want to say I think your picture is beautiful. You're very attractive.
Oh, well, God bless you. Thank you so much for saying that. There's lots of, there was probably a lot of photoshopping done. No, I'm kidding with this, but thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. My question has to do with my career. I don't have one. I left a job a year ago on my own free will for specific reasons, and I am just really having a hard time finding a new career position. Can you tell me if you see anything coming for me?
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I keep, what I keep seeing, and I don't know why this is, I see you that there's kind of a discrepancy in what you want to do too. And let me explain what I'm saying, what I mean by that. I see that you're good when it comes to helping others, but and there's that need to want to help others, but at the same time, you're really good in business. Do you know what I mean?
It's very true.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're almost at odds with yourself, and it's kind of like you have so many directions you can go in, it's kind of hard to pinpoint what you want, and I don't think you're fully committed to one direction or the other. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I have great skills, and I just want to transfer them to some other company that will appreciate me.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the product line is, what the service is, as long as I could use my knowledge and experience.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you that the key here is to find, I think what you need is a company culture that's similar to what you're looking for. And I think that as long as you have a culture in a company that has the same point of view and the same empathy for its employees, which is hard to find, by the way, but they are out there. There are a lot of quote-unquote Christian organizations out there. And when I say Christian organizations, I mean companies that have they have a corporate culture where they're progressive, yet their employees are not last. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I feel that's going to be important to you. Can I ask a silly question? Did you leave the other job that you had because of a relationship with another person?
Yes. I call it emotional rape from the CEO of the company. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's coming through so loud and strong and clear. And it was really awful for you, and I'm so very, very sorry. But what I will say is, and unfortunately we've only got about a minute left, what I will say is that it's really, really important for you to find a company that has a corporate culture that allows you to be who you are, okay? Believe it or not, you might consider some of the larger companies, do an internet search and find some companies that are in your area that do have Christian-based morals behind their corporate image. Do you know what I'm saying?
You know, I've sent out over 230 resumes, and so I'm just in a tailspin now. I'm getting desperate and worried that I'm not going to find anything.
I know, and that makes it hard and it makes it frightening. I will tell you that you will have a job within the next 8 months for sure, one that you're happy with and satisfied with. So I don't want you to worry about that. That is going to happen, okay? And I don't want you to worry about that, and I don't mean to be rude. One second. We just drew the drawing for the email winner, and it's for Bert from Lacey, Washington. So you'll be getting an email from us. I'm sorry about that. I had to do that, Rochelle. I can tell you that in about 8 months you're going to be in a position where you're really happy, and so I don't want you to worry about it. That's going to work out for you. But, again, it's important that you find a job. And, again, I need you to focus on which direction you really want to go. Do you want to go on the one that's business-oriented or one that's helping people? Because there's a confliction in you.
Well, I have 31 years of business, sales and management, and I love managing. I love business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind to people, and I'm good to people. So I could be good and kind to people and still be a great manager and a person who creates profits.
Right, right. Well, then, have you ever considered looking towards a nonprofit?
I have, and my answer is no. I'm not interested in nonprofit.
Okay, okay. Because I have this tremendous sense that there's still a conflict with you, and I can't quite put my finger on it. Let me see here. Yeah, I really can't quite put my finger on it, but I see there's a conflict, and that conflict has to do with it's like you're not 100% sure the direction you want to go in. And I think you need to narrow that down. You have to narrow down your focus of what direction you definitely want. Because it's like you're applying for a lot of stuff right now, but it's not necessarily what you want to do. You know what I mean?
See, but let me tell you, I would really love to get with a global company so I can do international business. I'd done international business with my previous employer. I love dealing with the Asian marketplace. I love dealing with foreigners. I love negotiating. Uh-huh. So I have applied to so many companies. I had an interview last week with a French-based company, but unfortunately I didn't get the position. And I'd like to travel internationally. I love dealing with foreigners. So that's what I would love.
Then what you need to do is you need to start doing more of that. That's where your focus has to be. And I hate to do this, but the show is ending in like 10 seconds, so it's going to cut me off automatically either way.
Okay.
Rochelle, look then overseas. Look overseas, okay, sweetie?
That's what I've been doing that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd love to talk to you more, but it's going to cut off. I'm sorry. I don't think she can hear me anymore.